All right, so we're going back to Jeremiah, it's chapter 27 that you saw from the bulletin. We're going to be going through it. We're not going to be reading every verse, but we're going to be making comments about a number of things. Remember, Jeremiah, one of the things he's known for is kind of all the visual aids that he uses. Remember, he's done all kinds of visual things to teach lessons to the Israelites. Remember, they've been warned about the Babylonian army under King Nebuchadnezzar. Several chapters, Jeremiah told them about what was going to happen and why it was going to happen, because of idolatry. It was all about idolatry because they hadn't followed the one God, Jehovah, but they had turned to other gods around them. And so many, many of his lessons that Jeremiah has given to them has been about that. Jeremiah has already been persecuted some. He's already been put in stocks and in chains because of his bluntness and his honesty, because he's just relating what God has told him to relate to them. In chapter 27, we have another visual aid, if we want to again call it that, because he is the one that uses them more than any. This is where he puts the yoke on his neck to kind of show what is going to happen to God's people. It was a symbol. God is going to make nations, including Israel, submissive to Babylon. And there isn't anything anybody can do about it. They've actually found back during that time, you know, this is some 500 years plus before the birth of Christ, they've actually found some of these, archaeologists have, of what they look like. And we think, you know, the yoke that goes across the person's shoulders, and they had parts that would hang down where weights would be put on them. And they found several of those, or they have found some, that would be what Jeremiah would have worn to show people this. You know, the idea of a yoke is something that is kind of in bondage, someone that's subservient to someone else. And so that's what he is showing in the beginning of verse 17, puts that yoke on his neck. And it is, again, it's to signify that not just Israel, but other nations would come under King Nebuchadnezzar's kingship, I guess is the best thing to to call it. He goes on in that chapter and says that whoever does not submit to Nebuchadnezzar, all right, is going to be severely punished. Now, this is what becomes kind of a problem with Israel, is that there are false prophets among God's people that are telling them this isn't going to happen. See, Jeremiah is on one side saying this is going to happen and you need to believe it. And then these false prophets come up and said, don't believe Jeremiah, he's lying to you. So the people are hearing two entirely different words, lessons, sermons, whatever you want to call them, prophecies. And they're completely opposed to one another. And that's the problem that's arising here in this chapter. In verse 7 of chapter 27, it says, so all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, and which will not put its back neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. So any nation that does not submit to Nebuchadnezzar, to Babylon, God is going to punish far worse than if they would have just given in to Nebuchadnezzar. God says if you will submit to Nebuchadnezzar, it'll be far better for you. And that's a prophecy, and that's a direct statement coming from God. Now notice what verse 9 says. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you, to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So God, through Jeremiah, is telling these people and other nations, really, that it's going to be best for you just to submit to Babylon, to King Nebuchadnezzar. Don't try and fight him. God's saying it's inevitable. I've already set this in motion, and if you fight against Nebuchadnezzar, you're fighting against me, and you're going to lose. That's what he's saying. Don't listen to these false prophets that says, no, you're not going to be taken captive. You're not going to serve under Babylon. They're lying to you. They're deceiving you. Do not listen to them. He says, if you will serve King Nebuchadnezzar, then you'll get to remain in your own land and till it. In other words, it's going to be better for you if you just submit to Nebuchadnezzar. Just do it. And that's what they need to do. So, pardon? No, they didn't listen. But God said through Jeremiah, this is what's going to happen if you just listen. If you just do what I tell you, if you just pay attention, do not listen to these soothsayers. Then in verses 12 through 15, there's a specific message here. Now he's going to speak directly to the king. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. So there was a specific message. If he would have just listened, like David said, if he would have just listened, so much pain and suffering would have been stopped. But he didn't listen. He listened to the false prophets, the lying prophets, because they said what he wanted to hear. See, that's what it was all about. These false prophets said, you're not going to be taken captive. You're not going to serve Babylon. Well, see, that's what the people wanted to hear. And that hasn't changed. People tend to follow what they want to hear. No wonder there are so many false religions out there that promote some sort of, maybe it's, if you follow me, you'll be wealthy, or you'll be healed of all your diseases, or you'll never have any problems, or this after this life you'll be, you know, given power over other worlds, like Mormonism teaches, or any of these things. See, those things are what people want to hear. So no wonder they're so popular. You know, the social gospel, the get-rich gospel, all of these things, they all appeal to the material side of people. Yes?
They all come and go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the last time you saw Mooney.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I remember the Moonies very well, especially those that were in the airports, you know. You saw them all the time.
And the Shakers.
Yeah.
They're not around anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, now they call me.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of Christians.
All kinds.
Come up and go
away. And If you want to get a following, what are you going to do? Offer somebody something physical and material.
So people can tell them what they want
to hear. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to get it. Dean? That's exactly right. And it's alive and well, and I'm sure it will be until the end of time. I'm sure there's going to be many, many of them that come and go because they appeal to that physical, material side, you know, healings and wealth or power or, you know, something in the next life that's, again, materially related, physically related. Those are, you know, that's how people get others to follow them. And that's been the trend for thousands of years, and I really believe that will be the same until the trumpet sounds. I don't think that'll ever change. People are just going to follow those type of things that appeal to the flesh. You know, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. They're just, that's the way it's going to be. Well, people were doing that in Jeremiah's time. That's exactly why they were listening to these false prophets, because the false prophets were saying, you're not going to be taken captive. King Nebuchadnezzar isn't going to come in and destroy the city and take you captive. That's not going to happen. And people listened to them, including the king of all people. He should have known better, but he didn't. So so there was an admonition to the king, and now in the rest of the chapter, there's an admonition to the priest and all the people. So beginning in verse 16, would someone read down to verse 18, 16 through 18 for us?
Also I spoke to the priest and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, behold, vessels of the Lord's house will now surely be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Not listen to them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid in wait? But if there are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon.
So now he just talked to the king, and now he's talking to the priest and all the people, saying, think about the vessels that are in the that what would have been, we would call the temple, Solomon's temple. He says, think about those vessels. The priests the false prophets are saying that those will never go to Nebuchadnezzar. So what he is saying here, he's telling them, if they're really speaking God's word, then let them make intercession. In other words, let them go to Jehovah, that what's left in the temple will stay there. And see who's telling the truth. See, this is a test to see whether the false prophets are true or whether they're false. Because some of the vessels, some of the parts that were in the temple had already been taken to Babylon. But there's some of them that still remained. Let's see, what remained here? What the Old Testament called the sea, which was a great big basin, sometimes called a laver, that was still there. And of course, this was huge. This held like 10,000 gallons, so this was a huge thing to move anyway. It was still there. So Jeremiah is saying, well, look at the stuff that's still here. Jeremiah is saying, what I'm telling you is, all of this is going to be taken to Babylon. The false prophets are saying, no, they're not going to be taken to Babylon. So Jeremiah says, wait and see who's right. Wait and see who's telling you the truth. Is it me or is it these other prophets? So, and of course, after the Babylonian captivity and all that, remember when during the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, the Cyrus king of Persia lets the people come back. And what does he let them take with them? all those vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken. So they were allowed, you know, years later after the captivity and after Persia became the world leader, they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. Of course, there was no temple, but they were allowed to take the vessels, all of that stuff back. Again, Jeremiah was proved correct. Nebuchadnezzar did take all the stuff, took all the vessels, just like Jeremiah said. And these prophets were false prophets, just like he said they were. So then we'll go on to chapter 28 real quick, and we're introduced to another individual. Verse 1, and it happened in the same year, okay, so we know the time period, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, who is from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So now we have another prophet saying that everything Jeremiah has told you is a lie. You know, you're not going to be sent to Babylon for 70 years. But within 2 years, he says, within 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon and that bondage will be completely broken, and everybody will come back, including all the vessels, all of it. So now there's like a contest, if you will, between the two of them. Jeremiah and Hananiah are prophesying completely different things. So notice what happens next. Would someone read from verses 5 down to verse, including verse 9, 5 through 9.
Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. What am I going to read?
Verse 9.
Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say to your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesied peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord, only if his prediction comes true.
Ah, there's the way to know if the prophet was true or not. Does the prediction come true? Jeremiah says, may these things happen. Amen. The Lord do so. Jeremiah said, that would be wonderful if that was true. That's what he's saying. I mean, that would be great if in 2 years Nebuchadnezzar's yoke was broken, but Jeremiah knows that's not going to be the case. It would be wonderful, like Jesus said, you know, there toward the end of his life, he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but thy will be done. Jesus was saying, you know, if there was any way, it would be great, but I know that's not going to happen. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. It would be great if the Lord would do that. And Jeremiah knows the Lord isn't going to do that. So, it says, remember the prophets who were before, how they prophesied of these things. If those things came to pass, then that means the Lord had sent them. If they didn't come to pass, the Lord had not sent them. Notice the next couple of verses, though. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. Remember, Jeremiah's been wearing this big wooden yoke and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Why did Jeremiah stop talking?
Yes.
There wasn't any use, exactly. There wasn't any point in saying anything else. He'd said everything, hadn't he? He'd already said what was going to happen, what God said was going to happen about the captivity and about the vessels and all of that. He'd already said all that. There was no point in continuing to, if you will, argue with this guy. There was no point. He had, it's like arguing with a fool. You know, it's a waste of time.
And this is Romans. If you have a weak brother, don't, he won't be won over by doubtful disputation. Mm-hmm. Don't argue with him.
Yeah. And then that's true with a lot of people today. I mean, there's a lot of people just, the way they think, there's just no point in arguing with them or trying to convince them.
I grew up in a church that the people in Missionary Baptist in that particular denomination, they'd rather argue than eat.
Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, deal with it. And so that's, you know.
Yeah, then, and sometimes that's, it's just pointless.
Absolutely.
All right? If they, you know, if they're not going to listen, if they're not really going to hear, if all they want to do is just argue and say that they're right and everything else is wrong, then it's like Jeremiah here, just go your way. Just go your way. That's what he did. So now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and we'll just finish with this into this chapter. After Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you've made in their place yokes of iron. Okay, it's pretty easy to break a yoke of wood compared to a yoke of iron. So God says instead of this easy yoke, this yoke's going to be much harder, much tougher. Yes?
Well, historical note here. The Babylonians, that's one thing, they knew how to smelt iron.
That's right.
Steel.
Metal workers.
They were the only ones that knew how.
That's right.
It was a guarded secret. So that was a reference to that.
That's right. They were metal workers, and other people weren't, at that time anyway. So this is showing that, you know, you think wood would be bad. A metal one, it's going to be rough. So he says, for thus says the Lord our hosts, I put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. So he just came right out and said, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You're a liar. You're a liar. People needed to hear Jeremiah say, you are a liar, Hananiah. So, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Cast you from the face of the earth. That's an interesting expression. Because his body wasn't going to be cast from the earth, was it? His spirit was going to leave. It's a good reference in the Old Testament to the fact that there was two parts of a person, the non-material and the material. But he said, you're going to die within the year. And he did. In the seventh month, it says, he died. Because he was a false teacher. He tried to get people to believe a lie. And it always has been a serious thing with God about false prophets and false teachers. Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, anybody that tries to get, you know, God's people or anyone to believe a lie is in serious trouble with God.
People should have learned from that.
Should have learned from that. That's right. But God has dealt harshly with false prophets through the years, false teachers. He really has. Been very, very
harsh. They hunted after the debate between them and the lion. They hunted them down and killed all of them.
That's right. And that was a bunch of them. So, yeah, it's a serious, serious thing. Okay, thank you very much. We will, Lord willing, we'll start with chapter 29 then, next Lord's Day.